Finally, Gilgamesh gets to ask his burning question. How did Utnapishtim overcome death and become immortal? Utnapishtim, who is not a believer in making a long story short, tells him about the Great Flood. His speech is a very strong piece of writing, as beautiful as its descendant, the Noah story, but far more detailed and dramatic, and filled with the most vivid images. The unsuspecting workmen drinking barrels of beer and wine to celebrate the completion of the ship. The terrified gods fleeing to the highest heaven and cowering there like dogs. Utnapishtim falling to his knees and weeping at the first touch of the blessed sunlight. The gods, starved because all their human food providers have drowned, smelling the sweet fragrance of Utnapishtim's sacrifice and clustering around it like flies. The flood story explains Utnapishtim's exemption from mortality by narrating the circumstances that prompted the god's decision. It also explains the prologue statement that Gilgamesh had been granted a vision into the great mystery, the secret places, the primeval days before the flood. The vision into the great mystery does not, however, seem to do Gilgamesh a bit of good, at least now. It certainly doesn't tell him how to overcome death. Immortality, it turns out, was a one-time offer, and that bleak fact is Utnapishtim's main revelation. Why, then, did the poet include the flood story at such length? Is it merely an interesting digression? Any reader who wants to understand its dramatic function in the poem should read Book 11 again, this time skipping from Gilgamesh's first question, "Tell me, how is it that you, a mortal?" to the end of Utnapishtim's speech, "Now then, Gilgamesh, who will assemble?" If you delete or drastically abridge the flood story, the interval between the question and the dashing of Gilgamesh's hopes seems far too short. But with the story continuing for as long as it does, the suspense keeps growing. We are aware that Gilgamesh is listening with absolute attention, because at any moment the way to overcome death might be revealed. We can feel his attention even the second or tenth time we read this speech, when we know that Gilgamesh won't find his answer. And when the speech comes to its disappointing climax, we are carried on to the next incident with at least the satisfaction of knowing the whole story. We have heard everything there is to hear about how Utnapishtim became a god. Obviously, this is not the way out. The story has another dramatic effect as well. It gives us a harrowing picture of the cost of Utnapishtim's immortality. The immortality itself seems like a pallid afterthought. Hovering in the background of this narrative is an unspoken question. If you had to experience all that terror and the death of almost every living thing in order to be granted immortality, would it seem worth it?